The following is a Pro Football Network podcast, the primary voice for pro football at profootballnetwork.com.
Kyle Yates here with PFN Live on Radio Row leading into Super Bowl 58. I am joined here today by Victor Cruz. Victor, thanks so much for taking some time out.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
For sure. So I got to ask, I figured that we could talk about a ton of different stuff, but I think I would be doing a disservice to everyone if I didn't talk about your touchdown dance off the top.
Okay.
When and where did you decide on doing the salsa touchdown dance? And is it better than Justin Jefferson's The Gritty?
Oh, man. Okay, first of all, yes, it's better than The Gritty. Let's be honest. You know, I love The Gritty, though. A lot of the kids are doing it. My daughter even does it. So I respect The Gritty, of course. But for me, the salsa started, well, first of all, I'm half Puerto Rican and half African American. So I grew up in a very Puerto Rican household with my mom, my grandparents. Like, my grandmother taught me every dance in the book, right? She knew that, like, I was going to need these dance moves at some point when I got older in life and I was starting to court women and court girls. She knew I needed the moves, right? So at 11, I hated it. I was like, I don't really need to dance in the living room. I don't need this. But at 18, I was like, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So fast forward, playing football, high school, college, and I get to the NFL. And I'm getting my first start. Shout out to Coach Mike Sullivan, who's the offensive coordinator for the Steelers right now. And he goes, man, you got to rep your culture. Like, you're getting your first start, you're getting that end zone or whatever it is, you got to rep the culture. And he didn't tell me to dance necessarily, but I knew that I had to do something. And I didn't even know what it was. Even leading up to game day, I'm so consumed in my, like, my job, right? And just making sure I'm not letting Eli down and it's my first start. I'm undrafted. Like, I got to perform.
Right.
So I get my opportunity, and my first catch, I shake two dudes up the sideline, and I'm going in for the touchdown, and I distinctly remember about to cross the end zone. I'm at, like, the three-yard line, and I'm like, I got to dance. Like, this is, it just makes sense.
Yep.
And then I broke out into the salsa, and the Eagles fans were not very thrilled with me, so that made me do it even more, and I think that's where it was born. And then fast forward, my grandmother, who only watched television and Telemundo, rather, and Univision.
Okay.
And it aired on Univision.
Okay.
And she was like, stopped everything and watched it, called me and was like, hey, what was that? And I was like, it's a little salsa for you, blah, blah, blah. Like, and she was like, from now on, as long as you're playing in the NFL,
there you go.
I want to see that dance.
There you go.
I was like, done.
You said your daughter's doing The Gritty constantly. My son is also at the point where he's starting to do it, but he is the most uncoordinated kid in humanity. So trying to see him go through and do that, it's a spectacle. During your time in the NFL, you mentioned you got to catch passes from Eli Manning. Who was a quarterback that you looked at and you're like, man, I wish I got the opportunity to catch passes from them while I was playing?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I mean, there's so many, but I think one, and actually got to catch passes from him in the Pro Bowl, was Drew Brees.
Okay.
I was always a fan of, like, the undersized quarterback that was, like, talented and that, like, did really high-level things. And Drew Brees was obviously nothing short of that. So when I got to catch some passes from him in the Pro Bowl, I was pretty, it was pretty unique, and I was pretty excited about that. And but I just admire his career and admire what he did from such an undersized perspective that he's always been top of the list.
A lot of people in, like, media and casual fans like to hate on the Pro Bowl. They don't really see the point of it. But from your perspective, is the Pro Bowl worth it because of opportunities like that?
Absolutely, man. I love the Pro Bowl. I love that it was in Hawaii. Obviously, there's there's always a reason to, you know, go to Hawaii. And if you could do it for free for a Pro Bowl, like, why not? I flew my family out. Like, we had the greatest time. And I always cherish that moment, right? Because the people of Hawaii loved it. Like, they don't get a lot of football over there. So the fact that we were able to go over there and show them football and have all of their favorites come as well, like, that was a big moment for Hawaii, for that town. And understanding that was fun. And then just obviously catching passes from Drew Brees, being there with Marshawn Lynch, and, you know, Marshawn being mad that we kept throwing screen passes instead of giving him the ball every time, you know, like, those were, and the memories you build at the dinners with those guys, and just, like, you know, those moments are indispensable. But I actually like the format now. Like, if you tell me I could play dodgeball with these guys, like, it's kind of fun.
Right.
So I think they got to figure out how to just continue to make it fun and make it more digestible for the fans.
All right, final question here for you. Who was a wide receiver growing up? And obviously, you know, we all love the game growing up and we get to admire these players and kind of model our games after. But for you, who was that player growing up that you were like, I'm going to be like them one day?
Oh, man, the biggest one was Steve Smith,
Carolina
Panthers. We were similar build, similar height.
Yeah.
I tried to match his tenacity and I got close, but he was built a little bit different, obviously, but he just went out there and showed up each and every week, and you knew exactly what he was going to do, and you couldn't stop it.
Yep.
and he wasn't 6'5". He was, you know, 5'9", 5'10", on a good day, and he was just out there doing what, you know, you couldn't stop him. He was dominant, and he talked that talk, too, you know what I mean? So he was a guy that I looked up to. I watched his highlights before every game because I wanted to just, like, channel that when I was out
That's cool.
And he was a guy that I looked up to. Even to this day, he's a G.
That's awesome, man. So we're here all week, Radio Row. It's been just absolute pure chaos. You're here to talk about what you're doing here on Radio Row.
I'm here on behalf of Captain Morgan, representing the Fan of the Year, man. At NFL Honors, the Fan of the Year, this award you see in front of you will be handed out to the Fan of the Year. And it's just amazing seeing these people, seeing these Fan of the Year nominees and all the things that they go through and their pure fandom. I mean, these guys are absolutely... lovers of the game, and it's good to represent them and actually give out an award and represent what they do. And then at Sports Illustrated Party on Saturday, all the nominees will show up, come hang out, have drinks with Captain Morgan, drink responsibly, of course, and just have fun at a dope environment.
That's awesome, man. Okay, so I lied. I got one more question for you. Okay. Chiefs, 49ers, give me your prediction for the game.
Ooh, I'm going, you know, this is tough, but, you know, it's kind of, I'm always a fan of legacy. So I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes and see if he can just continue the legacy. And who knows, at the end of his career, he can do something that we probably never see before outside of Brady. So so we'll see how it nets out. But I'm going with the Chiefs.
All right, Victor Cruz picking the Chiefs here for Super Bowl 58. Kyle Yates on PFN Live. Don't go anywhere.